Impeachment. It is a volatile word today, and it was just as volatile when the Founding Fathers debated the constitutional power to remove a president. After considerable debate, the Founders agreed a president should be removed from office after impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. In the legal world of those times, to impeach was the role of the House of Representatives and basically meant to find evidence of guilt and to bring that evidence forward in a formal accusation. So impeachment was an accusation only. The Senate held the power to convict the president of any charges related to the accusations contained in the impeachment, but they had to have a two-thirds vote. Now, in our current times, our view of impeachment is clouded by President Bill Clinton's impeachment and subsequent acquittal on perjury charges relating to a sex scandal. In the 1970s, Congress threatened to impeach President Richard Nixon for covering up electioneering fraud, but Nixon resigned before charges could be brought. And briefly, in the 1980s, some congressmen wanted to impeach President Ronald Reagan, who had clearly violated Senate and House legislation by aiding pro-American Contra fighters in South America. But Reagan was so popular, few Americans supported the idea, and Congress backed off. So, we should ask, what does impeachment really mean? Only two presidents have been impeached, Clinton and Andrew Johnson, and neither were convicted, although Johnson missed conviction by a single vote. Impeachment has been avoided by public popularity in the case of Reagan, and conversely by public pressure and resignation in the case of Nixon. The Johnson impeachment was clearly the results of an all-too-public political squabble over Reconstruction. To better understand it, we can look to the events that transpired and the testimony given. By the summer of 1864, when President Lincoln vetoed the Wade-Davis bill, it was clear that the president and the so-called radical Republicans disagreed over Reconstruction of the South. After Lincoln's assassination, Vice President Andrew Johnson was expected to cooperate with the radicals. But in the summer of 1865, Johnson issued a lenient plan instead of the harsh radical ideas. Several of the southern states reorganized under that plan. Then, in December of 1865, the Republican Congress refused to seat the newly elected congressman from the rebel states, re-entering under the Johnson plan. Congress and Johnson were at their first impasse. 26 long months later, the president would be on trial before the Senate. In early 1866, Johnson struck back, calling Republican leaders disunionists, and however, the public in the North seemed to support the radicals. Confrontation continued as Congress passed the Freedmen's Bill and a Civil Rights Bill over Johnson's veto. That spring and summer, race riots erupted in Memphis and New Orleans, making matters worse. Inside Johnson's cabinet, his Secretary of War, Edwin M. Stanton, publicly supported the radicals and conspired to help them at all costs. Now, as you have already studied, Johnson was a self-made Democrat from Tennessee who owned slaves and had developed a stubborn conviction to prove himself to others. These traits no doubt caused Johnson to see that Stanton's refusal to cooperate with Johnson's Reconstruction plans. And as the 1866 congressional elections approached, Democrats pushed for Stanton's removal. Republicans, moderates, and radicals wanted Stanton to stay. In the election, the Republicans gained a huge working majority in Congress. 3 months later, Congress passed the Tenure of Office Act, prohibiting the president from dismissing any officer confirmed by the Senate without Senate approval. The act was intended primarily to keep Edwin Stanton, Secretary of War, in his post. Then the Radicals passed a new Radical Reconstruction bill, recreating military rule in the South. The House made an attempt in 1867 to impeach Johnson, but moderates thought the action too grave. Johnson, feeling angry and powerless, used the congressional summer recess to suspend Stanton. In what he hoped would be a masterful coup, Johnson then gets former General Ulysses Grant to act as interim secretary. Johnson also used his powers to prevent implementation of some of the Radical Reconstruction programs. Johnson's hoped-for support from Grant was short-lived. Grant had urged Stanton to stay on and only took the job to keep Johnson from doing more damage. When Congress met again in January of 1868, things got really bizarre. Under the terms of the Tenure of Office Act, the Senate refused to concur in Stanton's removal after a formal vote of 35-16. Grant, sworn to uphold the law of the land, resigned, and Stanton moved back into the office. Johnson quickly and formally removed Stanton and appointed Lorenzo Thomas Secretary of War. Johnson was clearly asking for a fight, and his bold move now opened the way for moderates in the House to support impeachment. On February 24, 1868, the House voted to impeach Johnson by a vote of 126-47. Many comments from House members were openly ugly towards the president. One member blamed him for walking in the filth of treason, and another called Johnson's supporters reptiles. The House filed 11 counts or charges against the president. The Senate, presided by the Chief Justice Salmon Chase, began the trial of Johnson on March 30 to great fanfare. The galleries were packed for days as arguments for each side made their case. House members, called managers, made the case for the prosecution. Henry Stanberry defended President Johnson. Stanberry was Johnson's attorney general and had supported the president's Reconstruction policies, but he resigned to defend the president before the Senate. After three crucial votes taken between May 16 and May 26, 1868, the Senate was one vote shy of the two-thirds majority needed to convict Johnson, and they adjourned without voting on the other articles of impeachment. The votes were predictable. Both senators from many northeastern and western states were radicals and were strongly voted to convict. Senators from most border states voted to acquit. Johnson served out his term but failed to get a presidential nomination to run in 68. Congress had won the temporary battle. That is the real lesson here. They failed to impeach, but the brand of direct enforcement of Reconstruction clearly won. After the impeachment trial, the record of controlled Reconstruction is clear. The 14th and 15th Amendments were passed. Southern states were admitted under congressional plans by 1870. Then laws were passed to enforce Reconstruction and to curb the KKK. By 1873, the nation was tired of the Civil War, and it faced a harsh economic depression. The public mood changed, and soon Republicans interested in forging a new South were replaced by Democrats. A disputed election in 1876 led to the end of Reconstruction. The 5 years of radical control and the attempt at impeachment ended as well.